All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Special edition of the ZabeCast. Who let Scott and Solly out of their pay-per-view cage appearing on a Thursday. Got behind Thursday. The dreaded Thursday. Berlin paywall on Fridays. Hello, Scott. Hello, Solly.
Mr. Zabachov, take that wall down.
Due to a confluence of travel issues, scheduling issues, and the fact I'm going to see our mutual friend, Scott, Fred Minnick, tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
My best. Give him a big hug. Signing. A bourbon tasting and a meet and greet, and I'm going to sit down with him and Maddie and Big Mike, and we're going to talk about Fred's book, where he talks about how he basically changed his life. He was saved from severe depression post-Iraq war by drinking Old Crow bourbon and becoming intrigued with this old brand that had become a bottom shelf brand.
That's kind of cool. It's very cool.
That'll be tomorrow. There will be a more than zero number of people who complain. Well, I paid for Scott and Solly on Fridays. I feel like I'm not getting my money's worth. I don't care about bourbon. Why'd you put that on Friday?
Well, they should subscribe to the Lynn Murray Solly Show, where they hear us every day for
they
even
should.
Less money.
And they hear me with you guys every Tuesday.
That's
so,
right.
Exactly. And thank you for supporting.
Right.
Enjoy.
All right, some business first.
Business.
Can I call you Council Member Solomon?
Well, not if you want to be correct, because I am not a council member. I fell short in my race in Montgomery County for county council at large.
Can you tell us what percentage of the vote you got and how far away from one of the coveted seats? There is multiple seats up for bid.
Right, there's four seats. There's 17 people ran. I finished ninth out of 17.
That's not terrible.
Well, there's still a lot of votes to be counted. So it could be 8th, could be 10th, maybe, okay. But not in the top four. I need Brad Raffensperger to double the votes. I need 22,000 votes to win.
Is this a better result than last time?
Well, last time I ran, there were 9 people for one seat, and I finished 4th. So it's tough to judge.
Okay.
It's exactly where I thought I'd finish based on who the people I were running against. And I predicted the exact order of the first 9, including myself. I was like, this is how it's going to be.
Did you really?
I did. I should have bet on Kalshi.
Well, you should open a Kalshi account and then gone heavy on that.
Everyone's betting on the order of Montgomery County Council race results. Okay. But no.
So when's the next chance at this?
Well, 4 years would be the next county council race. And if I want to win that, I better start tomorrow.
You'll be vibrant and healthy and energetic 4 years from now?
I don't know about that. Okay, I haven't been vibrant and healthy for 20 years. But
all right. Let's just say we somehow came upon a lot of money.
I need a big pack. So anyone out there who's got millions of dollars in a pack who wants to support me.
Super pack. A solly pack.
Yeah, a solly pack would be great. Because I will dark money, light money, any money I'll take. although not yet. No,
Confederate money.
Well, if it spends, Kalshi money, Bitcoin, whatever you got, because money wins elections. That's what I've not always. So people with a lot of money lost these elections. Ask David Trone, who spent millions of his own money and lost.
Wow.
And ask Tom Steyer. It doesn't always work out. But money. But I just didn't do enough.
I don't know. You did a lot. You went out there. You knocked on doors. You braved the ire.
I did.
Crazy. But potential voters.
There are
you
some
to the point where you were
there.
Carrying a big Paul Hogan style knife.
No, not that big. It was small, but it could kill
what
someone.
I call a knife.
You don't want to carry a big knife, Teddy Roosevelt. Carry a small knife. I didn't.
Okay.
The guy who won started 2 years before me, so I'd have to do that.
Listen, stay healthy. I'm going to work on getting some money behind you because I think the third time is a charm. I really
Maybe
do.
Four, but let's I've work tried on three times, but thank you.
And I'm going to have, and once I deliver the money to you, I'm going to have at least a bit of a say in your message. Like, you're going to have to drop this, let's build a stadium in Montgomery County, small-time sports. This is a losing issue.
Well, people liked it.
Some people liked it, but the county.
Not a stadium. Funded. I want to build a conference center.
Right. They don't want it. They don't want to spend for that. So
I don't want to spend for anything.
Anyway,
people want to say I'm going to reduce taxes. That's affordability. You got to say that, even though if you don't believe it, just say affordability, and people will like it.
All right, Scott. Speaking of money, and speaking of speaking of money, and this is an etiquette issue when it comes to dinners with people, colleagues, friends at a place where there's some uncertainty as to
alligator
who
arms.
Check.
Oh, reach for that check.
Oh, yeah. So I'm at dinner last night here. Well, not here in Chicago. I'm in Chicago now. I was in Indianapolis last night. Stayed at the Honorable Judge Massa's house, and we were out to dinner at his club. And Charlie Mannix, also a longtime listener of this pod, goes for his wallet right before the check comes. And there is like a scrum, basically, between Charlie
and his honor.
Whoa.
And I said, no. I said to Charlie, I go, listen, your Confederate graybacks don't even spend here, buddy. Stand down. And, you know, Mark gladly picked up the bill. How do you navigate that? You, a man of social graces, when it comes to awkward bill situations.
You try once to counter. You're like, no, that's not necessary. And if they go, I got it, you put it away. This does not need to be a prolonged sword fight. If they offer, you know, please let me. And then you know what you may want to do? It's sort of like, here's my hardest, you know, my best try. And you go, let me take care of the tip. No, I got the whole thing. It's all
you're
good.
Padding,
seriously.
You're not
and then you're done. No, but you always offer, Zabe, of course.
How many thank yous? Two, any more is then sycophantic. Thank you enough.
That's a great question. I usually like to shake hands, hug, send a text, and then an email the next day, and then call. And if they still have an answering machine, leave a thank you message on the. No.
Kneel in front of their hand and touch your forehead.
No.
It's like a pope or something. Thank you.
A handshake is good. And then if you want to follow up with a text later, really appreciated that. I don't know your relationship with these gentlemen, but, you know, but one is good.
30 crab legs to go. It's on him. It's on him.
Right, exactly. Oh, pull a Rodney. Unbutton your shirt and your pants and your coat and go, oh, if I'd have known that, I'd order 10 things to go. don't do that.
So I played the legendary Crooked Stick Golf Club today in Carmel, actually, technically Carmel. That was where John Daly burst on the scene in 1991. Now, John Daly winning the PGA in 91 is a story so far-fetched that it truly would be
it's we were talking about this on the course. We're like, this is maybe one of the 10 best sports stories ever, because he was a complete unknown. He was the ninth alternate. He got in the night before, drove through the night from Arkansas to get in, never played the course before in his life, had this big blonde mullet, and was bombing the ball distances and heights that nobody could believe. And he ended up winning the tournament. He also won it with this caddy by the name of Squeaky Medlin on
Squeaky
the bag.
Medlin.
Because he sounded kind of squeaky with his voice. Sadly, Squeaky died of cancer shortly after this incredible victory. But it burst John Daly onto the scene as this everyman. The scene was wild. And I said, that's up there with, say, Kurt Warner being the former Hy-Vee grocery store clerk.
The clerk, yes.
Knocking around in the Arena League for the Iowa Barnstormers, getting the nod only because Trent Green goes down in the last game of the preseason with a tearful Dick Vermeil saying, he's going to play great. I'm telling you, Kurt's going to play great. He's our quarterback. And then he goes and wins the freaking Super Bowl. The Kurt Cignetti story is another incredible story that reads like a Disney movie, where he takes a job with literally the worst sport, with the worst college football program by any metric, and says, I win, Google me.
Google me.
And then proceeds to win.
That's his epitaph. Google me.
In his second year. And he's got this weird, cocky, but kind of cool, smirky dad vibe to him, where he's got a raised eyebrow like, oh, yeah, that's a great story. What other great stories are there in sports that belong in the pantheon?
Herb Brooks, I guess.
Herb Brooks would be another one. Yeah. I don't want the best players, I want the right players. And then saying, if you guys don't come back in the third period against Finland, you will take it to your fucking grave. And they win the gold medal. That's a great story. Miracle on Ice, because they had just gotten trashed by the Soviets in the exhibition game at Madison Square Garden just days before the Olympics.
Rulon Gardner, the beating Gardner, Carolyn, the unbeatable Russian machine. Yes.
Alexei Kanon, I believe. Yeah. Why do I remember that name? And I can't remember both my daughter's birthdays. It's very embarrassing.
Neither one, huh?
The Russian bear. Well, I remember it vaguely, but then I got the year wrong for Megan, and she said, no, it's 02. And I was like, God.
Wrong year. Ooh, that's even worse.
Well, the years fly by. They go quick. So anyway, just something to think about as we go forward. Just if you find one as I'm talking, just bookmark it. Or
just blurt it out. No, don't blurt it out. No,
We'll mop them up on the backside. Let's talk about this incredible Knicks trash can story. I assume you guys are familiar. You've probably talked about it on the Lynn Murray Solly podcast.
We have not. Not yet. No. It's new to me.
Oh, my God. So there's a woman who at first I thought was a dude with like some weird fake dreadlocks hat, but a woman, not skinny. In fact, I'm sure morbidly obese, walking like a Humpty Dumpty character, who was filmed taking one of the commemorative Knicks blue and orange trash cans, metal trash cans on the streets of New York City, calmly dumping out the trash right onto the curb there.
Yeah,
and
now
then
I see
walking
it.
Away with it proudly. It's like, okay, it's a city full of rats. What are you going to do? Well, as Paul Harvey would say, there's more to the story. Turns out she gets fired from her $300,000 a year job with J.P. Morgan Chase, where she was their diversity, equity, and inclusion officer. Oh, my God. That is an all-time generational bag fumble right there.
There now, she is, dumping trash. I mean, New York is such a clean city. I'm shocked that anyone would do such a thing to New York there.
It just boggles the mind that you would think.
She took this. She, a 40-year-old woman, what's her last name is Baez.
And what do you do with this? Take it home, I guess.
Sally, she wanted a souvenir. There's pictures of her on the subway.
I guess you have to drag it home. Remember when we went to Survivor Series 09 at Verizon Center? You gave
you
chairs,
folding chairs,
which I always thought was the dumbest idea. in a place where everyone gets to by metro, for God's sake. So you have to lug that thing home. It's a chair.
I found it to be a light carry, and I have the chair proudly in my basement.
I still have the chair.
Every Thanksgiving, I always offer my mother-in-law, Mom, do you want the Triple H wrestling chair? It's the special one.
Oh, look, he's in a tank. I love that one with Shawn Michaels on it. Yes.
By the way, can you hear that air conditioning unit going on right now?
We do not.
Good. Good. Yeah, it's no, really annoying.
Yeah, I just turned you way up, and I do not hear it.
That's, you know, $486 at the Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Chicago.
$486. That's how the rich pay.
That's right. Quite the ripoff, but I had to get it for tonight for other reasons.
Steal a trash can. You'll be
so, right. So, yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, look, she fucked up. All right? You shouldn't be stealing a trash can. Should you lose your job over that? I don't think so. On the other hand, I'm not sure her job was that important, to be honest. But I know she probably liked having it because it paid a lot.
$300,000 a year? That's more than I make. So
that's a lot. Yes, yeah, that's right.
Now, good. In Manhattan, that only goes so far, obviously.
You can't even rent a studio in Manhattan. I would think that's enough to live in Manhattan, all right?
It's enough to live in Manhattan, Solly. It's probably, well, yeah. No, you can live okay in Manhattan. But the way they have all the apartments and the condos and the co-ops and everything like that, you have to sign up like for generational wealth.
Well, if you offered me a job that was paid $300,000 in Manhattan, I'd say, I still don't have to live there? No, thank you. You couldn't pay me enough to live in New York.
Yeah.
Because I like driving.
For $300,000, I would let somebody come dump a garbage can of
stuff. A Knicks trash can on me. Yes.
Well, not on me, if you want. But because there might be syringes in there and
on feces.
And feces, right, and rats in there. But I would let them dump it in my front hallway, and I would just clean it up every day. And I'd be like, oh, boy, all right. Well, and it would take 20 minutes. I'd clean it up, and I'd be like, great. I make $300,000.
I can't. Yeah. I Zabe, I'm still trying to ponder. I mean, again, she's a dummy for doing this.
You big dummy.
I'm guessing her bosses were like, Angie, you made a really, really, really bad decision, and it was all over social media.
Right.
This is a really bad look for us. The funnier part, as if there has to be a funny part, is what sanitation, New York City Sanitation, did on social media, where they took a picture and circled the can or whatever, however they did it. Welcome back. We missed you.
So they got it back? Was that part of the deal? There's a video and 8 million people have watched it. God, give back the can. I was thinking they should let her keep the can. Every day she looks at it, she's like, you know, that trash can cost me my career.
Right.
And now I'm working for $20,000 a year.
that would be the saddest scene. You could like do a film noir where it's like wide shot.
It's like the Rubio meme of her just sitting there looking at this can every day in different
wide
outfits.
Shot, Baez in her apartment, bills stacking up as she's unemployed, slow push in, can in foreground, goes to bokeh and out of focus. Rack crop to tight shot of Baez's quivering lips.
Oh, I don't know if there's a trash can of anything. If I saw a Golden Girls trash can somewhere, I'd be like, ooh, I really want that. But I don't want to dump out all the trash that's in it. I'll just take a picture of it. Anytime you see something cool, take a picture of it. It'll last forever, right? So.
Yeah.
All right.
And by the way, real quick, last ad, in a lot of places, they chain these things down.
Yes.
Trash cans?
All the places. And again, I'm not victim blaming. Ms. Baez should not have taken property that does not belong to her.
Correct.
But New York City, you'd expect of all places, they would have chained that stuff down.
Yeah. And you know what? If I were her lawyer, and this is a tailor-made case for none other than Jackie Childs.
Who told you to put the can there? Did I tell you to put the can there? I didn't tell you to put the can there.
Here's what Jackie Childs would say. How come you painted the can blue and orange? Made it a souvenir, didn't you? If you didn't want it to be a souvenir, why'd you paint it like a souvenir? How come that trash can's not tied down? Obviously, it was a souvenir that any Knicks fan would like to take home and put in their house, and you didn't chain it down. In fact, my client's the victim. She's been set up here, bamboozled, hoodwinked, and marked for chicanery. I object, Your Honor. Well, we'll see what happens from here, but don't take trash cans. They're just trash. Don't take trash cans, not because they don't belong to you, but because they're fucking dirty and you're not going to like
them. Yeah, that's disgusting. Right. That's
go to Michaels. Go to Michaels, buy a similar wire mesh waste basket, small for your desk, and then just do an art project where you buy the same color spray paint as the Knicks and do an art project. And now
you make $300K or win this at auction. If the New York City Sanitation auction this stuff off for charity, bid. You make $300,000 a year, ma'am.
Yeah.
Let's talk casino for a second. MyBookie.ag has a full Las Vegas-style casino right on your phone. Blackjack, roulette, craps, slots, video poker, all of it. No flight, no parking, no guy next to you who hasn't showered since Thursday. And they have live dealer games. Real humans on camera dealing cards and spinning wheels in real time. You can watch the shuffle. It's not some random number generator. It's an actual person running an actual table, and you're sitting at it from your couch. New players get $25 in casino credit automatically with promo code ZABE, just for making a deposit. Free money to try it on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state.
The WNBA is making headlines, and they're not great per se. I'm going to start with the funny, though, before I get to the ridiculous. Did you see the point off between Sophie Cunningham and Dawana Bonner?
I did not.
Okay.
I point off to Sophie Cunningham. Point off.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
right.
Excuse me.
Okay. Here she is.
There it is.
Look at her.
Look at her.
Yes.
Now, this clip cuts off halfway. She continues for another 30 seconds.
It's like the Spider-Man pointing thing, but with just two people.
as the two are separated, and it's taking a good amount of time. And look at her facial expression. Just kind of saucy. Meanwhile, Bonner was also pointing at Sophie. And you're just like, oh, God, come on, gals. Really? I guess it's better than full-on fighting, a point off.
Exactly.
That is pretty
funny. Well, pointing is quite rude, you know, right into someone's face. That's you, I guess. They were far from each other, too, so I don't know how big of a deal it is.
That could be considered rude for sure, but that's one story in the WNBA. The other story is the league recently put out a poster that is celebrating 30 years of the WNBA. Don't ask whether or not they celebrate 30 years of profits, because we all know they haven't.
Hey, 30 years of existence, pretty good for a sports league, right?
Right. Even if you're not making money, still pretty good.
Ask the AAF, right? It's pretty good.
Okay. So, Christine Brennan, not my friend, because she would hate my guts. I have no personal grudge against her, although I do sigh and roll my eyes and say, oh, Christine, will you ever get off your stance on things? But she's your friend, Scott. You know her, right?
I mean, I have not talked to Christine.
She knows who he is.
I mean, you know, when she would come into the station, she signed a couple books for my kids way back when, you know.
Okay. She knows me. She likes you. She hates me, and that's fine. So Christine Brennan tweeted the following. Okay. I've never tweeted about a poster before, laughing emoji. There are far more important things. That said, I heard from a few of you and I gave it a look. So I'll just pose a question. Have we ever seen a sports league, a business enterprise, actively trying to not make as much money as possible? Because here is the poster of 30 years in the WNBA. 30 players are on this poster. 30 of them. There is no Caitlin Clark.
Oh, no.
What? Yes.
Did they have any active players? Maybe that's...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Plenty of active players. They even put Sophie Cunningham on the poster and not Caitlin Clark.
Oh, it's the pointing poster.
That would be good if she was pointing.
I mean, I understand that Caitlin is overhyped to a certain extent. She's not the best player in the league. No, she's probably the fifth or sixth. She does have a special skill, though, which is deep range shooting, but she is also responsible for their new collective bargaining agreement and the fact they're not flying Southwest on
they're finally making money with her there, right? They were losing money for 27 years, I think.
Yeah, maybe. But this follows the fact that Nike just rolled out the Caitlin Clark shoe 2 years after she had come into the league.
How about that? No shoe deal yet for her. That's the amazing part.
Well, they just came out with it. And what triggers the fuck out of me, Scott, is that their ocean blue color which clashes like crazy with the Indiana Fever, yellow and white color scheme.
By the way, I heard the shoes. I think I saw like one quick snippet. People love the shoes, whether it clashes with the uni or not. People are like, dude, these are really awesome.
My shoes fell off.
My shoes, right?
People still buy people's shoes, huh? Oh, that's a Caitlin Clark shoe. I'm
everybody's shoe is somebody's shoe, Sal.
My Sauconys have no corporate on them. They're
those are insert generic white man here sneakers.
I guess, yeah. But I guess basketball shoes are all someone's. Does everyone have a shoe deal? Like in the NBA?
No.
Not everyone.
Jose Alvarado have a shoe deal?
He does not.
Minimum amount? Because every golfer's got a ping deal, right? I mean, no matter how low you are on the totem pole.
Yeah, but they're not. Ping is not making custom shit for JT Poston. They're like, JT, we'll give you clubs and we'll give you $4,000 a week.
I'll take it. Right. Like Kramer. Like, I'll take it.
Like Kramer. Right. Clubs.
We'll give you free coffee for life. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Free pings. I'll take them. You don't want to know about the money? Like top tens are worth $10,000.
What about the Wyndham Clark 50? Line of grape, Zabe? I think Wyndham. That's what we really should be talking about.
It's windmills. Wyndham Clark's windmills.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, her shoe is out.
So the Clark shoe, by the way, this poster, apparently, I just Yahooed up an article. Cheryl Swoops isn't on it. Sue Bird's not on it. Diana Taurasi's not on it.
Those are three people I've heard of.
Seriously, Sally, they really dropped the effing ball here.
30 WN players of all time. Maybe 10, and those would be Lisa Leslie. Isn't she like the greatest women's player of all time, maybe? She's got to be on there, I would think. But Cheryl Swoops is up there.
So
and it's not on the poster.
How about Cheryl Miller, Reggie's brother, sister?
It's not specifically an anti-Caitlin thing, although I think there is some anti-Caitlin in there. It's also just a clueless thing where whichever young interns were in charge of putting this together and it got greenlit.
Let's find one person from each team.
They don't remember who used to play in the league and was something back in the day. So, one more for you. This is from one more on the basketball front. Becky Hammon. Noah, long time coach. Was the assistant under Pop with the Spurs, did some stuff on ESPN.
I apologize.
On one episode last year, when the roundtable was discussing whether or not Jalen Brunson could be the number one for the Knicks, she said, no, he's too short. Well, sure enough, he was absolutely the number one and got it done for the Knicks. So they tracked down Becky Hammon and they're like, so? And here's what she said. All Jalen did was prove history wrong. He didn't prove me wrong. He proved he's an outlier. So you can put his name next to Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. And I thought he played brilliantly, especially down the stretch. I mean, he was that 1A dude. But apologize? I'm never going to apologize for having an opinion. That's what ESPN pays me for. The comments were swift with things like, woman refuses to admit she's wrong.
There you go.
Look, she's not wrong in this. She is paid to have an opinion, and she didn't need to
Have an opinion.
She didn't need to say, I'm sorry.
Right. Just like you say, it back.
When you say he didn't prove me wrong, he proved history wrong, and then he lists two other players, both of which have occurred in my lifetime, that's not the strongest of arguments, you know? It's like, yeah, now there's three.
Never wrong? Come on. We're all wrong.
A truly special small player can be the best guy and lead a team. Just saying.
I never thought the Knicks would win with Jalen Brunson. I was wrong as well. But no one cares about my mind.
You know what? I would say that opinion was shared by many, 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 many people, including the great Stephen Arthur Smith.
I was never wrong, Stephen. I was perhaps not correct at that time, but I corrected myself before the wrong thing was said.
Do you guys have a bead on what the PGA Tour is going to do in terms of restructuring the tour?
By the way, Stephen A's middle name is Anthony, not Arthur.
I
just want to check his license. You know, I'm like, is it Arthur really? You son of a bitch. You did some homework. That's awesome. Do we have a bead? Double tiers? Relegation? ?
Ooh, relegation.
Yeah. Scott, you're reasonably up on it. I appreciate that. Thank you.
There you go, buddy.
Is it the newsman in you that does that? Or
yeah, and you know, I mean, I do have some downtime at work, and while I am admittedly watching not a lot like I used to, but ESPN.com's just click. And yeah, I saw, I did a quick brief, and then, but I was going to actually ask you about it because I think it's cool. I'm all for relegation.
I think it's great. And I talked about this at length with my golf nerds on the Capital Golf Gang, that podcast available now. I talked to them last night. We get deep in the weeds. They weren't as excited or enthusiastic about it as I am. I tried to make the analogy that the tour had like 46 tournaments a year, and it was a mixture of candy and nuts. Nuts are good, but they're not candy. The candy tournaments are like Memorial, Jack's Place, Bay Hill, Arnie, the Players, obviously.
Yeah, Memorial's like a big 5-yard Charleston chew. Lots of chocolate, lots of marshmallow. Kind of reminds me of what's behind my zipper, says Barbara.
So I said, look, they had this string of a mix of nuts and candy. They've now put them in two bags. And they're going to say, if you like nuts, here's a bag. These tournaments are not going to be on the big networks, but they'll be played sometimes concurrently. And the candy's up here. And they're going to tell the bottom 30 of the top 120 at the end of the year, get out. You play for nuts next year, not candy. I think it made perfect sense, but some of my golf buddies didn't think it was such a great idea.
Well, I mean, I defer because obviously you know the game way better than I do. They know the game way better than I do. What was their sticking point? Are they that in love with the Zurich and the Rocket and you know, like...
And the Cog, the Cognizant.
Right, the Cog. That's what we call it now. No. Yeah. So, there are weekends when even casual passersby like me, I love watching the Royal Canadian Open.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I also, by the way, like, this might be a dumb question. Where does the Heritage fall? Because I love it, but I also know that it still gets a great crowd because it's right after the Masters.
Yeah. And that's going to be a huge point of contention. Which tournaments sit on what tier? So,
right.
All right. Well, anyway. Enough of that. Let's end with this story. Are you aware of the budding disgrace of Kansas City that could be happening in the World Cup soon?
Dog head tilt?
Algeria versus Austria. Google when that match is going to take place. It might be tomorrow or it might be Friday. They're wrapping up group play.
Correct.
Today was the first day of all the third games starting.
There was once a match that was set up in a way for the World Cup in which neither team wanted to win. In fact, they wanted to lose.
1982. That's why they started.
Saturday, 10 o'clock, Zabe, in the East. And Algeria, Austria.
What was the former match that was called a disgrace, Solly?
Well, this was in 1982. They still played games. They staggered them. They weren't at the same time. And I don't remember the third place team. It was like, I don't know, let's say Costa Rica or something. But the two teams ahead of them were like Germany and Austria. And either if they tied or if one won by one goal, both would advance. So they played four corners basically for the whole game where they both knew, let's both not try, we'll both advance. So that's the crux of when they said, we got to make these third games all at the same time.
Right.
And they did from then 82 on.
Right. This was the disgrace of Gijon. And it was in 1982 in which West Germany beat Austria 1-0. Yes. But the game was played with just aimless kicking the ball around.
He passes to the man. He passes to the other man. He scores. He passes to the other. Like that Simpsons bite.
So apparently Algeria, Austria is now set up where neither side wants to win because the winner is going to get fed to Spain. And Spain is the top dog in this tournament. And so they may engage in a most disgraceful exhibition of soccer on Saturday, the likes of which I might actually tune in for if it's really, really shameless.
That's pretty funny. You know, the way you described it, like I know we talked about remember wins at the beginning. What about a phrase like, and I know you're going to go, what the fuck are you talking about? the Les Robinson Invitational.
Yes.
That's the first thing that I thought of. And I'm like, remember when NC State used to only get invited to Thursday ACC tournament
Thursday
games?
Thursday 8-9 game, huh?
And then they would call it the Les Robinson.
Because Les Robinson was the coach of NC State, and they were perennially in that thing.
And they were ninth in an 8-team conference they'd have to play every year on a Thursday.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so, you know, that is a disgusting act. So will Algeria and Australia be. Oh, my God, that's pretty funny.
They should have put Australia in that group, so because it'd be Argentina, Austria, Algeria, Australia. Now, that would have been a good group, the A group right there.
Now, there's a simple solution, which would cut against many sporting principles, and I'm not sure FIFA would be ready to do it, but you know what the simplest solution is? The winner picks. The winner picks. Like, so
I always thought
through.
Playoffs should be that way, where the top seed
can
decide who they play.
I agree.
That makes more sense. That's the real advantage of being a higher seed.
Right, because what if the quarterback for the team you're not playing has his leg broken, like a toothpick, in the previous game, and they're going to be easy plucking, you'd rather play them. I would love to see that in American sports, but I think the coaches are too afraid of it because of the kind of talking points. Imagine ESPN and Stephen A. Smith if that were a feature of our
sports. This is a complete disgrace to sports right here. I can't believe they're allowing this. No
one,
we don't follow this.
You think you want the New England Patriots? You're going to get them? You chose them? I mean, the ability to mount a high horse of outrage and fake dudgeon.
There has been no horse built that I cannot mount, Stephen. I will mount whatever horse is given that. I'll even mount a horse that says France has not succeeded in World Cup play, despite the fact that they made the finals just 4 years ago.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up. Boys, it's been great. Tell me what you're doing on Friday, since the weekend is not here. No. What are you doing on Thursday? What do you got planned for Thursday, Scott? Anything exciting other than work?
Wow. You know what? We got a wedding for a very dear family friend this weekend. So daughter's coming home to borrow a car because she's in the wedding potty.
All right.
So she needs to head out to the venue ahead of the family. And we'll be doing that. Friday's going to be mellow, but Madison needs a vehicle. And then we're going to go to a wedding on Saturday.
Lending your daughter a car sounds like an exciting day, Scott.
There you go. I know. It's
parenting in all its glory. Huh?
There it is. I'll watch World Cup.
Solly, what about you? What do you got planned for a Thursday now that campaigning is over?
Well, now the campaign is over, my schedule is clear. 10 days of drinking, I believe, is what comes after any campaign.
You're not into alcohol.
Sadly, you don't even drink. That's the problem. You should take that up.
Or I should. Smoking. I'll start smoking, too.
Yeah.
I tried it. Didn't like it. So maybe I do need a habit to blow
smoking
all my money
on. Smoking
a pipe
is very tricky, and it's labor-intensive, and you got to tap out
the smell of ice, of pipes and cigars is so vile to me. I don't understand how people do it.
All right. The Lynn Murray Solly Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts on Patreon. Go to Patreon and please support them. I see them on Tuesdays every week. Boys, great run today. And yes, you freeloaders, you could get this for $5 a month on Fridays, plus ad-free Monday through Thursday. Just go to zabe.com/premium and sign up today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time.
You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.